It's a Pirates Week brief for Sunday, August 10th, 2008. Hey everybody, this is Ragnar Dannisfjeld, and this is, well, not the full Pirates Week. We're going to call it the Pirates Week Brief. I don't have time to do a full show, but I did want to get something out at you. We're only going to touch on a few things here today. The Pirates Week is, well, it's going to be officially on hiatus until Labor Day, if you've noticed. Nothing's hitting your ears for the last couple weeks, and it's going to be like that probably until September. We should be back into the full shows every week come mid-September, maybe even early September, depending on how things go. And except for a couple vacations in October and a long vacation in November, we should be doing the Pirates Week, the full Pirates Week, every week throughout the winter. But until then, hey, you know, what do I say? The time constraints are what they are. But I do have a free afternoon today, so I wanted to do a little something for you. Don't have the full show, but we do have, well, a couple good audio jewels for you and some news and updates I wanted to share with you. So let's get into it. Let's do a Pirates Week brief.
Almost live from the Fuking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Dannisfjeld.
Well, let's do a couple news blurbs right off the bat. We should touch on first that WBCQ is back on the air with their pirate-friendly program, Area 51. So, hey, let's kill two birds with one stone with an off-air pirate recording announcing the Area 51 return on WBCQ. This was recorded by Lex down in Texas, August 8th of Radio Jamba International, talking about WBCQ's return of Area 51. Next up, well, it wouldn't be Pirate Radio News without a bust of an FM station down in Florida. So from This Week in Amateur Radio is this week's FM bust in Florida.
The Miami FCC office has told a West Palm Beach resident to take an unlicensed transmitter off the air. In a July 10th letter to John Venuti, the FCC says it received information that an unlicensed broadcast radio station on 101.1 megahertz was allegedly operating in the West Palm Beach, Florida area. On June 18th, agents from the office confirmed by direction finding that the radio signals on 101.1 were emanating from the property owned by Venuti. The FCC letter demanded that Venuti immediately cease operation of the unlicensed transmitter. He was also told that failure to comply could lead to severe sanctions that might include seizure of the offending radio equipment, substantial monetary fines, and criminal sanctions, including imprisonment. Mr. Venuti was given the customary 10 days from the date of the letter to respond to it. That period is now past.
And continuing on with our Florida theme, an interesting development has occurred down in Florida. A licensed FM station has taken the hint from all the bus down there that, you know, the pirates that play all the Haitian music, an obviously underrepresented market because all the pirates are playing Haitian and Caribbean music. Well, anyways, this licensed station has started broadcasting, targeting that group, programming their digital channel in Haitian music and referring to their program as 96 Pirate. That's a 96 FM. Hey, more on this story is on the Media Geek. Let's take a quick listen to the Media Geek covering this. licensed station catering to the pirate audience.
And finally, a little bit of pirate radio news. The Miami, Florida airwaves are now seeing an interesting bit of co-optation. Beasley Broadcasting in Miami has started its own channel playing music popular with that region's pirate stations, with sounds of the Caribbean islands, like reggae, dancehall, and soca. The station makes no bones about who it's imitating either. They named it 96-2 Pirate Radio. Now, South Florida has been a hotbed for pirate radio activity over the last decade, with a huge percentage of stations operated by the Caribbean immigrant population, who come from countries where radio regulation is a little less strictly enforced. And another big reason why these populations turn to pirate radio is because there's very little representation of their cultures on licensed radio. Now, before you think that the new commercial 96-2 pirate radio represents a changing tide, we have to take into account the fact that this is actually a secondary digital channel to the pop hit station Power 96. In order to hear 96-2 pirate radio, you have to have an HD radio receiver. You've got one, or maybe a few, right? And despite the best desperate efforts of the National Association of Broadcasters, HD radio sales aren't exactly taking off. On top of that, HD radios cost at least $100, whereas the cheapest portable conventional radios often cost less than $10. So I tend to have doubts that Miami's pirate radio listeners are going to be lining up at the electronics store to drop a C-note on a new HD radio just to catch 96-2. This move by Beasley Broadcasting is likely just them sticking their toe in the water to see if there's any measurable audience for a Caribbean format without taking the risk of changing one of their standard analog channel formats. And maybe it's also just a publicity stunt. In any event, I'll be surprised if the new 96-2 pirate radio lasts a year. I certainly don't expect it to cut into the real pirate radio audience.
Well, I don't have time to go through all the postings on the FRN, so let's just touch on a couple highlights that's been going along the vines this last couple weeks. First up, WBNY. Commander Bunny is continuing his presidential run with a new show out this August, and the announcement that bumper stickers are again on sale and that T-shirts are coming again about mid-September. Take a listen to WBNY. This program, of course, the full WBNY program, is available for download in a couple different locations, as well as my shortwavepirate.info site. That's shortwavepirate.info. And, well, hey, take a listen to the commander himself.
Hello, monkey boys and monkey girls. I'm Commander Bunny, candidate for president. You monkeys have a choice in November. You can choose one of the stupid party monkeys, Republican McCain monkey, or Democrat Obama monkey, or you can make an intelligent choice and choose me, Commander Bunny, for president. My running mate, Cracker, who will be vice president, and I will return America to its greatness. Our platform isn't the boring, mundane political platforms of old. If elected, we will, 1, make postal workers and DMV employees be paid by the actual number of people they help every day. 2, eliminate the costly postal stamp program. There will be one stamp, and it will feature nude photos of the Supreme Court justices. 3, we are against gun control, but we will reduce the velocity of bullets by 98%. 4, we will strictly enforce that anyone who talks on a cell phone publicly has to wear a phone booth on their heads. We don't want to hear what you dumb fucking monkeys are talking about. 5, if your kids are disruptive in public and you don't spank them, we will. 6, if you win the lottery and say, "I'll keep working," you have to give the money back. These are just a few of the common sense positions of the Bunny Cracker administration that will return America to its long-lost greatness. If you would like to support Commander Bunny for president, and would like to have a Commander Bunny for president bumper sticker, send $3 and your return address to Commander Bunny, P.O. Box 1, Belfast, New York, 14711. Let me repeat that for you slower dumb monkeys. or a bumper sticker, $3, to Commander Bunny, P.O. Box 1, Belfast, New York, 14711. It's time that America has a hair transplant. Vote Bunny Cracker in November, and let's return America to its greatness. Vote Commander Bunny for president.
Well, continuing on looking at the FRN, a couple of the highlights. Jack Hammer of WFUQ is reporting that Fat C is very ill. And, hey, our hopes and prayers go out to him. Hopefully he can recover fully from the illness he's suffering. And, hey, Cosmic Debris just posted this morning that Reporters Without Borders is making a pirate broadcast in Beijing for the Olympics. They did it this morning. Actually, it's on a couple different news sites. Reporters Without Borders are making FM pirate broadcasts. Are making FM pirate broadcasts out of Beijing. And taking a look at the FRN, stations being heard this last week include Radio Appalachia, MAC, and Hoffer Radio, Psycho Radio, The Voice of Barack Obama. I haven't heard that one yet. I want to hear that. The Voice of Barack Obama. Going to be listening for that. Also, Cracker Radio, WBNY, and Real Pirate Radio. And how about, well, what's a Pirates Week without at least one good off-air recording? I have this one-minute clip of Ann Hoffer Radio recorded by me on 6925 Upper Sideband, the 3rd of August, 2200 UTC, SINPO 34333. This is only a minute long, but hey, it's nice to hear Ann on the air. This is Ann Hoffer Radio.
The Pirates Week Podcast, your home for shortwave pirate information. PiratesWeek.info. That's PiratesWeek.info.
Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all?
Well, let's do the propagation forecast. Really don't have to. I can tell you pretty much in a word that propagation at the bottom of this solar cycle is pretty much sucky, but from this week in amateur radio comes the propagation forecast.
The solar disk was spotless every day, which led to another week where solar activity was very low with no solar flares taking place at all. Solar flux levels were 66 units every day except for the 30th, which increased to 67. The average was 66. The 90-day solar flux average on the 3rd was 67 units, which is the same level as last week. X-ray flux levels remained below the minimum reported level every day. Geomagnetic activity was quiet every day. The most disturbed day was the 28th with an AP of 7 units. Several days the AP was only 3 units. The average was AP4. The ACE spacecraft saw solar wind speeds decline from 470 kilometers per second on the 28th to 320 by the 3rd. Particle densities were low every day, that's to say below 10 particles per cubic centimetre. BZ all week never varied more than minus 5 and plus 7 nanoteslas. Finally, the solar forecast, there was still no sign of any increase in solar activity. This week looks set to continue at very low levels. As we've said previously, when activity increases, it'll be very sudden. Solar flux levels are expected to be in the mid to high 60s. Geomagnetic activity is expected to be mostly quiet. MUFs during daylight hours at equal latitude should be about 18 megs for the south, 15 for the north. The darkness hour lows should be about 9 megahertz. Path this week to the Middle East should have a maximum usable frequency with a 50% success rate of about 21 megs. The optimum working frequency with a 90% success level will be about 15 megs. The best time to try this path will be between 1600 and 1800 hours UTC, even though the band will have been open since around 0900. Sporadic heat is expected to take place some days. Any openings now tend to be less intense. Now we're approaching the end of the summer season for another year.
Well, I want to touch on two other things very quickly. Well, one pretty much quickly. In other radio news, John Anderson of DIY Media is blogging that there is LPFM movement in Congress. It appears the U.S. Senate may be moving toward a floor vote on the Local Community Radio Act. It would relax channel spacing rules for LPFM stations, allowing them to be placed in a more urban area, and would give LPFM stations a semblance of parity with regard to other classes of FM stations. This would make LPFM less susceptible to being bumped off the air by larger stations looking to move or otherwise modify its own transmission infrastructure. That's the LPFM Local Community Radio Act being at least a little bit of movement in the U.S. Senate being reported by John Anderson of DIY Media. And finally, should we move the AM band to Channel 6 TV? Oh, there is something to think about. Some radio engineers think so, and this from This Week in Amateur Radio, with a dedicated area for LPAM in that movement to Channel 5 and Channel 6 TV. This runs about 4 minutes long from This Week in Amateur Radio, the plan to move AM to Channel 6 TV.
Now here is a dramatic idea that would change infrastructure reaching back to the very roots of radio broadcasting. An engineering group made up primarily of broadcast consulting engineers has proposed a new use for TV channels 5 and 6 in the United States once their occupants migrate to digital. It recommends the reallocation of part of that spectrum for use of the country's AM broadcast stations. The group, calling itself the Broadcast Maximization Committee, or BMC, recommends the conversion and migration of all AM stations over an extended period of time and with digital transmissions only. It also proposes relocating the LPFM service to a portion of this spectrum and expanding the NCE service into the adjacent portion. The group made its proposal in a filing to the FCC as part of the broadcast diversity proceeding in docket 07-294. Comments in that proceeding were due this week. Other organizations also have used the proceeding to discuss how the radio spectrum could be structured, but these comments are likely to draw new attention to the plight of AM stations and possible ways to help the occupants of the senior band. Engineering consultant John Mullaney, a proponent of using channels 5 and 6 for radio, is part of BMC, noting that similar proposals to use that space for radio stations have been dismissed by the commission as premature until the DTV transition is done. The group says the time is ripe for this proposal. Although LPFMs and NCE stations would benefit, AMs would gain the most, the group contends. That proposal would move virtually all AM stations to the new band. The engineers lay out a plan under which all or most of the current AM occupants would move, and parts of the existing band would be redesignated for local users, like municipalities and low-power AM stations. For Clear Channel Class A AM stations, they are proposing that the FCC increase existing protections on the AM band and possibly reallocate the Class A's that stay in such a way that they will have enough protection from other AM stations so that they can operate HD radio day and night without creating interference. This reduction in AM noise will allow the remaining Class A stations to increase their daytime and nighttime interference-free service by removing all other AM stations. Each channel is anticipated to be structured in such a way that the station may decide if they want greater robustness of signal and greater coverage, like in rural locations, or less robustness and up to four program channels. BMC is not proposing a digital standard at this time. BMC also proposed a way to move the estimated 24 post-transition DTV stations out of Channels 5 and 6. Under the BMC plan, AMs could transition to the Channel 5-6 spectrum. It's 100 channels, 77.0 to 86.9 megahertz, and operate in the digital mode. In this way, AMs can solve the current digital problems they are experiencing, especially at night. The group also proposes to extend the FM band to include frequencies 76.1 to 87.7 megahertz with a 100 kilohertz channel spacing, creating 117 new channels. The first eight channels, 87.0 to 87.7 megahertz, would be reserved for NCE channels since they are contiguous to the current NCE band. The next 100 channels, 77.0 to 86.9 megahertz, would be used to migrate AM stations to the proposed FM new EXB band channels, where they would operate in digital mode. One channel on 76.9 megahertz would be set aside for NOAA DHS use nationwide. The last eight channels, 76.1 to 76.8 megahertz, would be for LPFM use. The vacated AM band, 540 to 1700 kHz, would open up for multiple uses, including improved AM broadcast service or other use. While the policy standards and priorities for an AM migration would need to be developed, BMC has offered a technical plan to show that its proposal is possible and to encourage further discussions.
Well, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Pirates Week Brief. Hope you enjoyed what I could throw together in an hour or so here on some free time I got this Sunday. We'll be back in, 3, 4, 5 weeks or so, hopefully Labor Day or directly following Labor Day, and we'll get back into the weekly schedule. Until then, hey, thanks for listening.
From the Boat Anchor Soft Glow to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web, we meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week.
That's piratesweek.info.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.